It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
It's Download here on 720 WGN, and it's time for the Download on Chicago Business, brought to you by Signature Bank. It's our weekly look at local businesses and the people who are behind them. Tonight, we welcome in studio the CEO of Lifeway Foods, Julie Smolansky. Lifeway Foods is in the probiotic kefir business, a business that's seen tremendous growth in the past couple of years. This one-time specialty drink that's similar to yogurt was a niche product at one time, but under Julie's leadership, Lifeway has taken kefir to the highest level on shelves in Whole Foods, Mariano's, Target, and Costco, just to name a few grocery options. So what does it take to bring kefir from the basement of a Skokie home to the shelves of the grocery store? And what's next for the company that's made its name on Eastern European probiotics, the champagne of yogurts? Joining us in studio, the CEO of Lifeway Foods, who's been named one of Fortune's 40 under 40, Julie Smolansky. Julie, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start. I mean, there's so much to get into. I want to start with, you know, you took over, and one of the stats that's just so amazing is that you are the youngest woman to have ever taken over a publicly traded firm. You're the first CEO at 27 years old. The untimely passing of your father, you took over the company. Take us there. Take us to that point where you, as a 27-year-old, are inheriting this company. It's already a publicly traded firm. And you know, just having to look at your staff and everybody around you and the analytics and everything, what was going through your mind as you took over at the age of 27?
Okay, so I think I might need to start the cocktails first to have this conversation. But, well, you know, very truthfully, it was, as many would imagine, very devastating and difficult, unexpected, of course, and traumatic for our entire family to have to navigate that. But, you know, my parents and I immigrated as refugees to Chicago from the former Soviet Union in 1976. We were the first of 48 families to be settled just here in Rogers Park. We came with $116 on August 4th. It's almost my 41st anniversary of being in Chicago in America. And so, you know, I had really understood the challenges that my parents faced and how much adversity they overcame and, you know, how far they came with no language, no money, no friends, no network. So here I was, you know, a young adult educated in the States, growing up in an entrepreneurial family. Really, all of our dinner table conversations were about my parents' businesses. So a lot of it came very intuitively. And at that point, it was like this fight or flight response. And I just kept thinking that my father would have been devastated if we let the business fail or if we, you know, sold it very quickly or, you know, just like a fire sale because we didn't know what to do with it. I always felt confident that I could make it grow and that I could fulfill the strategy that we had laid out years before. And that, you know, failure was not an option for me. And I repeated that like a mantra. I buckled down. I worked really, 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 really hard for many, many, many years. I mean, it's always hard, but nothing like those first, you know, 4 years were really tough. Personally, professionally, in every single way. I mean, I remember, you know, sleeping 18 to 22, not sleeping, working 18 to 22 hours, like sleeping 3, 4, 5 hours. I mean, 5 hours was a luxury.
Because it was not only a lot of pressure to be the youngest CEO, female CEO of all time, but also the fact that this was your family business and you needed the family, you and your brother, you wanted to hold that not only the business in place, but grow it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we knew that we were sitting on a gold mine. We knew that we weren't even scratching the surface. This was in 2002. Our revenues were at about $12 million, and we were growing like crazy. We were busting out of the seams, actually, and we had a team of about 70 people. Today, we're about $150 million.
Wow.
350 people on staff. We were sold in Mexico, Canada, throughout the UK, Ireland, parts of Asia. I really have the, you know, desire and dream to make it a global international company and akin to like what Hershey's is to chocolate or Tropicana to orange juice, Lifeway to kefir. I think that's the destiny that this product has. It's a 2,000-year-old product. It's got long-term, you know, folklore and medicinal properties that go back to ancient times. So this is really kind of bringing to the masses something that our ancestors ate, and it's the right way to eat, actually.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because the story, the folklore behind the story is that your family was looking for this drink that was not being produced in the States. This was a drink that is very popular in Russia
throughout Europe,
but it hasn't really translated to the States. So yeah, that this really became more of, I really want this drink, as opposed to, I have this idea for a multi-million dollar business.
That's right. So, you know, because it originated in the Caucasus Mountains, we have photographers, because this drink originated in the Caucasus Mountains over 2000 years ago, where people lived to be over 100 years old, and it maintained its life because of word of mouth and kind of people just feeling good after they drink it and then sharing that with their families or, you know, their villages, like, oh, I feel good. So it became the good feeling drink, the champagne of dairy, as you mentioned earlier. And so, now science is catching up to what people knew always, that they feel good when they consume cultured dairy, fermented dairy, live bacteria. It's very, very beneficial. The science is just now coming to us in data. And so we can prove that it helps, you know, reduce diarrhea or, you know, use of antibiotics. When you're taking antibiotics, it destroys your microflora. So there's, you know, tons of great properties. It now helps reduce depression and stress and anxiety, because we know that the gut controls the mind and our moods. So, you know, it's really fascinating to watch how the evolution of awareness of probiotics has grown.
It's pretty amazing just in the last couple of years.
Yeah. And when my parents came, we were the first families that were, you know, settled here from the Soviet Union. And I think it came because of this migration, because people in Eastern Europe were already drinking this. It was a staple, but no one was using cultured dairy in the States. Yogurt was in its infancy in the early 70s.
Well, let me ask you about yogurt. I mean, we're talking with Julie Smolansky. She's the CEO of Lifeway Foods, which produces kefir. And I guess I'm allowed to say kefir because you said kefir.
You could say
kefir. I was trying to be all respectful after looking at
it. You can be a purist. It's okay.
All right. But I'm interested because you mentioned yogurt. There has been also a raise in the stakes of the competitive market when it comes to yogurt. We've seen more Greek yogurts and others. I mean, just in the last 2-3 years alone, it's amazing to think about how many brands have entered and caught up in the mainstream. Do you see yourself as a competitor? I mean, are you on the shelves with them? I mean, is this the idea that it's not only kefir, which is a different product, but you're competing in that market space?
Yeah, I mean, we're competing for, everyone in the food industry is competing for stomach space, because you can only consume a certain amount of food or beverage. So we do view it as competition, but we also think that a rising tide raises all ships, and as many people as we can bring to the category and to the space, the better. So anytime competitors are talking about, you know, the benefit of probiotics, or it's good for all of us, it's good for awareness for people. And honestly, the biggest benefit or joy that I get out of leading Lifeway is knowing that we're improving people's lives and their quality of life and their health. And if, you know, one person feels better because of it, and, you know, that's great. That makes our job worth it.
When you talk, and I want to take a break here in just a second, because on the back end, I want to talk about Lollapalooza, what you guys are doing there. But also, but that's my sort of thread about marketing. When you have a product that has such, when you talk about probiotics and gut health and everything in between, that you could really sell that product as, this is good for you. Mm-hmm. But that's sometimes in this marketplace, especially in the United States, not enough in the way that people are like, it's good for me, good, I'll take the chips.
Right. You know,
it needs to taste good. So how do you, I mean, when you're talking about marketing this product, how much of it does it have to be a balance to say it's good for you, but it also is something, it's a product like everything else that's on the shelf?
Well, I mean, the quality and the taste, it's a given. It has to taste good, or else I don't want to market it, actually. So it has to taste good to me and to many other people before I even feel inclined to launch something. But, you know, it's interesting. Flavor profiles are changing and shifting dramatically right now. from the level of sugar that people want to the, you know, unique diversity of international and ethnic flavors that we're being introduced to. So people are really open to experimenting right now. I think that's really being driven by millennials and younger generation who are just really interested in where their food comes from. They want, you know, variety. And they're open to tasting things that they've never heard of. And the weirder it is, the better. And I'm also seeing the things that just don't normally taste like something we'd be interested in that you might think, oh, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, right.
People have become used to it. And that helps the whole industry too.
Well, I going back to the idea of who you're competing against, and you talk about yogurts and other things that are on the shelf. I mean, is part of the game is just getting on the shelf. I mean, yeah. For one thing, for Lifeway Foods to find itself, you know, as a company that's grown exponentially over 15 years time, I mean, the numbers you threw are staggering.
Yeah.
There, you know, there has to be, you know, the ability to get that product onto shelves in different grocery stores. I mean, that seems to be where you've taken the product to be much more of a mainstream opportunity as opposed to something that you can get at the farmer's market or you can get at just the one corner store, the health store on the corner.
Yeah, well, I believe that health and access to healthy foods like kefir and other probiotic products is something that we all have the right to, that we all should have access to the best quality foods. And that we can hit as many people in as many communities as possible, and that we really are on every single grocery store shelf at this point. And it's because of all the hard work we've done in educating our market and educating consumers about probiotics. We were the first company to ever write probiotics on our labels.
Mm-hmm.
When we started writing it, consumers would call and say, we want the kefir that's not probiotic. So we had to go through this whole education process.
Absolutely,
about what
right.
It is. Yeah, and so I think it is, it in, you know, you asked earlier, is it the taste or is it the health? It's both now, but the health is really driving it, because once you realize how good you feel when you're investing in your own body and putting in the right foods, in moving, you feel so good. You don't want to ever do anything different.
Julie Smolansky is in studio. She's the CEO of Lifeway Foods. We're talking about kefir. And also when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the other products that you're working on.
Yeah.
Beyond kefir, but also your presence at Lollapalooza this weekend. Julie Smolansky in studio tonight on the Download in Chicago Business. Stay with us.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh. It's a Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank, here on Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Julie Smolansky's in studio with me tonight. She's the CEO of Lifeway Foods here in Chicago. The product, kefir. You're going to be at Lollapalooza coming up this week. And I wanted to ask the question just about, you know, that is, what's your interest in bringing the product to Lollapalooza? Because there's a lot that goes into the brands that they choose there and what have you. But, you know, when I think probiotics, I think of an older audience that might be, you know, interested in digestive health. What is it about bringing your product in front of 17, 18, 19-year-olds who might be at the festival?
Well, first of all, I think that everyone cares about their health now, and actually so many young people have digestive issues. Kids have digestive issues. Everyone does now. It's our modern lifestyle, you know, the way that we overuse different, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, travel, stress, all of those things, our diet, our environment, that all impacts our digestive health. So I do see that there is a desire for younger crowds to care about this. But also we launched a product called ProBugs for little kids, because that's actually one of the best ways one way that we find families start to change their eating habits. When they have little kids, they start to, as a family, change and eat better. So we have a product called ProBugs that we launched a number of years ago, and we were one of the first sponsors of the Kidzapalooza stage. I'm just a firm believer in the arts and music and culture, and that it takes all of those elements to be healthy, you know, to be a well person, and it's a great place to support, you know, in our local communities, these kind of festivals and different organizations that help us enrich our lives in our city and around the country. I mean, it's not just Lollapalooza that we sponsor, but all over. And we were one of the first sponsors that really believed in the kids stage. When we started doing this, it was like it was so bare bones. And it's really been wonderful to watch it grow to what it is. It's one of the coolest places to hang out at Lollapalooza right now. Yeah. So rock stars under the age of 10 get in for free with a parent or, you know, paying adult. So we have a big community art mural where kids can come and paint. There's games. My kids love painting their hair there, and they do karaoke, and they learn to, you know, do hip hop. And it's just such a fun place. It's shaded. It's the best place to be.
You sold me on shaded.
Yeah, I know. Well, I say, like, always, you know, everyone thinks the VIPs are in the cabanas and in the artist lounges, but I actually think that it's that kids stage where all those little ones are really getting the VIP treatment. But so, and we've seen these kids grow up into teenagers now. They keep coming back, and it's just been such an awesome experience. And we also like to engage our community and our audience and our customers in places where they're having fun, where they're enjoying themselves, you know, offering a treat for them. It's just the best place to have a conversation.
Let's talk about as we get close to wrapping up here. Yep. I want to talk about.
I'm going to make a cocktail.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I want to talk about the challenges of the growth that you talked about. You know, this is the Download on Chicago Business, and we talk a lot about CEOs and their and the challenges they face with their growing startups or companies or their family run companies. In your case, to go from 70 employees, like you said, in 2002 to 350 now. What? How do you do that as a CEO? What do you have to learn on the fly to manage that many employees?
Well, I was mentored by many other CEOs in town who really helped me a lot. Actually, Robert Passon, the CEO of Radio Flyer, gave me great advice. Said, write everything down that you do in a day, and then do your best to cross off as many things and delegate that to someone else, and make sure that you're doing only the things that you're uniquely qualified to do in a day. So I really try to constantly look at that as a frame up. And then, you know, it was really hard because it is a family business. It's got a family business culture. I was a 11 years old for our first holiday party, and it was a table of four, and then continued to every single holiday party. I knew everybody who ever worked for us. They went to every one of our milestone celebrations and vice versa. Every birthday party we used to celebrate, you know, every single person's birthday, and that becomes impossible. And, you know, you don't even know everyone's name. But, you know, you build a culture, and you hope that that trickles down throughout everybody's kind of, you know, hearts and minds as they, you know, go about their day. I think it's worked out. We have very little turnover. We do have a very close family at the company.
Well, you as a CEO, I mean, you're dealing with something a lot of CEOs don't have to necessarily deal with, which is the fact that you have to manage a professional staff, a management staff, staff that's sales and marketing and everything in between, but then also the people who are making the product.
Right.
Those are those are different cultures. I mean, you can't apply the same rules to one that you do to the other. Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
I mean, we kind of do. We do. We have a similar sense of, you know, community in our space. So I don't think it's actually quite that different. But it's just hard. The biggest thing is always managing people and making sure that you know, everyone feels listened to and respected. You know, it's sort of. It's just hard the bigger you get, but I think that we just do a good job of having that family vibe within the company.
My last question before we get to the cocktail here is just about Chicago. You know, you Lifeway has become a Chicago company in the sense that you hear more and more with your ability to be at Lollapalooza and other places. You have really sort of found yourself immersed in this city.
Yeah.
Why do that? Because you could be anywhere, and I would assume that, you know, you see a lot of companies are going
moving
to
around.
Moving around. So why does Lifeway Foods stay in Chicago? What makes it a Chicago company?
Well, Chicago opened its home to us 41 years ago. So that is one thing, is that, you know, the welcoming opening arms of this city, the way it helped my family. I have a strong sense of loyalty to the city. Every single corner of the city, I have a memory in. I absolutely love the city. It gets a bad rap on national TV. You know, if you knew Chicago, like we know Chicago, you love it. You love every part of it. So there's, you know, just a great sense of wanting it to succeed. It's the greatest city on earth. I travel all over. I love many other places around the world, but there's nothing like the heartbeat of Chicago. It's special.
All right. So you brought in your new product, the Elixir. This is new to me.
Right.
I love kefir.
Yeah, I do too.
This is something different. And you're making, as we wrap up here, you're making, what are you making?
I'm making a cocktail with Prosecco and our new Elixir. It's a new non-dairy sparkling soda with probiotics. There's a big movement for non-dairy and like kombucha you've seen and other kind of sodas, alternatives to sodas. This is 9 grams of sugar, so very low. It makes a wonderful mixer. You don't have to drink it with alcohol, you know, but I feel like we're at the hour where we could pop open a bottle right there. So there's a big movement for non-dairy product right now. Non-dairy refreshers and things like that. And it's very hard to tell people why they should continue to consume probiotic fermented dairy.
Right.
By the time you educate them on the benefits of why it's okay to consume cultured dairy, you've lost your fan.
Right.
So why fight the battle? We're gonna join the race, and so we've launched this non-dairy tonic, and they come in wonderful flavors: elderberry, ginger, tangerine. They're really nice. Here, I'm gonna share this with you. Cheers.
My question. Cheers to you. My last question to you. Here we continue. Is just the idea that you have to, I would assume this is interesting because it seems to me that you're more in the probiotic business by introducing an elixir that's a non-dairy product than the kefir business.
Yeah.
I mean, is that, as you move forward, as Lifeway Foods move forward, is that going to be the direction where you're going to be investing in probiotic products beyond kefir and the products that got you?
Yeah, we can't just stay a dairy-based company because there's just too much risk. A lot of people are, for one reason or another, can't consume dairy, or maybe they're traveling or they don't have access to a refrigerator because they're traveling. So we want to meet consumers with wherever they are in their lifestyle food choices. If they're on the road and they need a probiotic pill, we now have supplements and pills. So you're still getting the benefit of our probiotics, but in the way that you want them, whether that's a pill format or a soda tonic drink. You know, I've been using these after my workouts. They're super refreshing, tangy. It's just such a better feeling than a lot of the other stuff I see on the market from a beverage standpoint.
Julie Smolansky is the CEO of Lifeway Foods. You can see them at Lollapalooza. They'll be at the Kids of Palooza stage coming up here this weekend. And, of course, on the shelves in all the grocery stores with the kefir products and the new products, the Elixir. Julie, thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.